You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was supposed to be a day of fun at AJ's Family Fun Center near Grand Rapids. It was August 2015. Rachel Gibbs was wearing a scarf for the unusually cool day. She got into a go-kart. No staff member said anything about her scarf. The go-kart zipped off, and then Rachel's scarf got caught in an axle. Her windpipe was snapped. The horrific accident left Rachel severely brain damaged without higher brain function. Today, she's in a long-term care center outside of London, less than an hour from where her husband and her two sons live. This accident has turned Rachel's family upside down, and her sister, Corey Sandwick of West Michigan, has turned into a crusader for amusement park safety, especially since AJ's continues operating as it did before the accident, despite several apparent breakdowns in safety and precautionary procedures. Corey Sandwick is here with us now. Corey, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Now, you say, Corey, that AJ's was unprepared for such an accident, and you feel that that lack of preparation delayed treatment for your sister. I know you were there on the day of her accident. Could you give us some sense and some examples of what you saw?
Well, the first one was nobody stopping the remaining go-karts on the go-kart track that day after my sister had actually been able to unbuckle her seatbelt, stop her go-kart, unbuckle her seatbelt, and get out. Stand on the track. There was actually a bystander that came over that knew CPR, that took control of the scene. And there weren't phones either within the vicinity to call 911. My brother-in-law happened to have his cell phone on him, so he dialed 911 from his British cell phone. And when he got the person on the call from AJ's to give the address, they weren't sure of the address of the facility either.
So no staffer able to do any kind of first aid or any kind of CPR, no phone nearby, and the staffer didn't know the address of AJ's.
Correct. And there wasn't an AED on site or even just a first aid kit that came out to the go-kart tracker that was near the go-kart track.
Okay. And of course, we're talking about the external defibrillator device that is recommended to be in public places for traumatic moments. So following your sister's accident, what kind of investigation, what kind of action was taken by the State Licensing and Regulatory Affairs Department, the body in Lansing responsible for regulating amusement parks?
My understanding is that a state inspector did come out to inspect the go-karts, to look at their mechanical operation, to make sure that there wasn't anything mechanically that had actually caused the accident. And once they inspected that portion of the go-karts, the AJ's was allowed again to run go-karts with less than 24 hours after Rachel's accident.
And to the best of your knowledge, Corey, was AJ's fined? Was it forced to make any changes? Was there really any repercussion from what happened to your sister?
To the best of my knowledge, no. There was no repercussions. They weren't shut down. They weren't fined. I have learned, to the best of my knowledge, that in my conversations with LARA, which is the Licensing and Regulatory Affairs Agency that oversees amusement parks in the state of Michigan, amusement parks are permitted and not licensed. So being permitted places a limit on them as to how they can impose penalties on them. They can shut down rides or pull and deny an amusement park's ride permit, but they can't actually fine them for not complying.
And I know since your sister's accident and you've really become a crusader for amusement park safety, you found some unsettling trends about oversight and about regulation of amusement parks throughout the entire country. So let's start with, how does the federal government handle this oversight and regulation of amusement parks? What'd you find?
Actually, there is very little federal oversight across the U.S. It is left up to each state to come up with their own standards. We have found that there are states that actually have no standards. That is not the case in Michigan. We do have a law called the Carnival Safety Amusement Act in Michigan. But other states do not have any sort of regulation around amusement park rides.
And when I stop and think, just right off the top of my head, I can think of a couple of horrifying accidents at amusement parks elsewhere. The Kansas Water Park 2016, where the 10-year-old boy was decapitated. There was the Texas roller coaster, a woman fell to her death. That was, I believe, 2013. So it's interesting that with those kind of dramatic accidents that there hasn't been some kind of a push to do more nationally. So it's up to the states. So what's in the state law, the Carnival Amusement Safety Act here in Michigan?
Well, there is within the state law, there is a reference to an ASTM standard. ASTM is a national body that sets regulations and makes recommendations. They don't make laws, but they make recommendations and standards around many things that we come into contact with as consumers. But one of them is specifically the ASTM F24 Committee on Amusement Parks.
So I want to make sure I get this right. These parks in Michigan are permitted. They're not licensed, so there's no license to pull. And the law, in effect, basically said, well, here's the suggested procedures that you should follow. But it seems like tell me if I'm wrong here, there's not a lot of teeth behind that. There's no or else.
Correct. So in the current law in Michigan, there is a reference to the ASTM standards, which actually does have safety procedures written into it. But it's my understanding from Laura that they are limited in how much inspections that they can do, partly based on the fees that are generated. They actually have told me that there's not enough fee generation within the permitting process to actually check that safety standards are in place at amusement parks. The main thing that they're going out to inspect is the mechanical equipment. I don't want to downplay the importance of inspecting those things, but there is also a portion of the law that's in place that they're not able to enforce.
And so what kinds of steps have you seen, Corey, from the American Society for Testing and Materials, the ASTM? They've reacted to what happened to your sister?
Yes, they've got a vote going through currently looking at requiring covers on the rear axle of go-karts to cover the tires. That is only to address new go-karts right now. But they are aware of the fact that these were existing go-karts that were in place, and they do plan on taking up a vote to address existing go-karts. Once the ASTM does that, assuming that that passes, I will be going back to my representatives again to get the reference to ASTM updated in the Carnival Safety Amusement Act law.
Here in Michigan. Yeah.
Yes.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Corey Sandwick. Her sister was severely injured in an accident at AJ's Family Fun Center near Grand Rapids in the summer of 2015. A scarf that she was wearing got caught in an axle of the go-kart, and it snapped her windpipe and left her severely brain damaged. And just going back to that day, did anyone say anything about the scarf at all as your sister got into the go-kart?
No, actually, nobody did. And my mom was with us as well. It was my mom, my brother-in-law, my sister, and four of our kids. My mom actually had a scarf on that day as well. So there were two people that got on the, out of eight, that got on the amusement, on the go-kart rides with their scarves on that day.
And in your investigations, there was a 2007 internal memorandum from the park to its employees. Can you tell us what's in that?
Yes, it's a memorandum to the employees that is outlining what AJ's Family Fun Center saw as they're an at-risk park. And what that means is that if anybody that is going on to their site is taking a risk. So if somebody comes up to them and claims that they've been hurt, the AJ's employee is meant to say nothing about it in regards to them getting hurt on their site, even not necessarily offering a Band-Aid initially, or perhaps offering a free slushy instead.
So after this horrific accident, what kind of contact has your family had with the park?
We have not had any ourselves. There was a lawsuit that was eventually settled at the time, but no direct contact from AJ's.
I know you've been working with State Representative Thomas Albert, the Republican rep for District 86, hoping to shore up enforcement and oversight of amusement parks. And he has drafted legislation, but what's the problem here?
The problem, as he sees it right now, is the lack of being able to increase the funds to be able to support a position that would allow for the inspection of the safety standards. Laura has said without increased funding that they wouldn't be able to support a bill that would strengthen those regulations or inspections. Alternatively, we have discussed coming up with a standard similar to something that North Carolina has in place currently, which is a Gold Star safety standard, which would be a voluntary program for amusement parks to participate in. They would be able to have a symbol, you know, on their facility or near the amusement rides that would show that their safety standards go above and beyond others. So it would be a consumer awareness campaign as well as something for amusement parks.
So because I think you've told us Representative Albert doesn't think his bill would get out of committee right now.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So this idea of this Gold Star safety standard, it seems like a start.
Yes, it does. In my mind, I'm in the construction industry, and standards like LEED and Energy Star have done a lot to push our building codes to get better. So my hope is that it would be this Gold Star safety standard would be something similar to that, that we can start to increase awareness around the need for safety standards among, again, consumers and amusement parks, and then eventually perhaps adopt that into law.
What keeps you in this fight, Corey?
My sister, for sure, that I don't want to see this happen to other families, and my two nephews. I'd like to be able to let them know what we've done as a result of this. I can't change what happened to their mother, but hopefully we can make a difference going ahead.
Corey Sandwick, we want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for taking the time.
And now we turn to GOP Representative Thomas Albert of the 86th District in West Michigan. Representative Albert's been working with Corey Sandwick on possible legislation to shore up gaps in amusement park safety in our state. He spoke to us from the floor of the Michigan House. Representative Albert, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Cynthia. I really appreciate the time.
Why did you decide to join forces with Corey to take up this cause?
Well, you know, I guess first off, you know, I just feel some deep sympathy that her family went through. And, you know, I had some office hours in my district, and Corey came and talked to me, and we did a deep dive into the issue a couple of times, actually. And I think we may have found somewhere where we might have a path forward to try and improve the safety of some of our amusement and carnival parks here in the state of Michigan.
So tell me, what's currently in the drafted legislation?
Well, we don't have anything drafted quite yet. We have to talk to all the stakeholders first. One thing you don't want to do in the legislative process is jump the gun and start talking about proposed legislation too early, because you might kill the legislation before you get started. So we're taking it slow. We're going to make sure we get it right.
So what do you want to accomplish and tackle with the legislation as you consider what you want to put into this bill?
Well, you know, I think I'm in kind of a unique position. You know, I have the Ionia Free Fairs in my district. I have the Kent County Youth Fair. So I have two county fairs in my district. And, you know, I have three kids. We love going to the fair, and we just want to make sure when we go that everyone in the community has a safe place that they can go. You know, the one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to come down with a heavy hand and over-regulate and basically prohibit these businesses from being able to offer a good time for families to go enjoy in the summer.
What kind of ideas are you formulating as far as what you're striking this balance between, you know, not shoving businesses out of business, but you also want to have them, you know, be safe?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a bit of a balance, but, you know, working with Corey and talking to her and looking at what other states do, I think what we've found is North Carolina has it's more of an incentive program where if a business wants to participate, it'd be voluntary, but they can they can enter into almost like a Gold Star program, where if they have good safety programs and training programs for their employees, it can be regulated by, in the case of Michigan, regulated by LARA. So it would just help businesses volunteer to improve the safety at their locations, and then they could put stickers on their entrances and on their website saying that they're, you know, a safe family environment.
As you were kind of digging into this, and I know in talking with Corey, we became aware that in our state, amusement park rides are permitted. They're not licensed. So that kind of limits LARA in the actions it can take, doesn't it?
Yes. Yep, precisely. So in Michigan, it's not like there's no oversight. For instance, the location where Rachel Gibbs had the incident, there was an inspection not too long before that, and the equipment was actually came and inspected by LARA, and it was deemed to be, all in compliance with the relevant rules and acts that are currently in place here in Michigan. So it's not like there's no regulation, but this tragedy occurred. So we got to try to make it safer here in the state of Michigan.
Corey tells us that the current Michigan laws do reference safety standards from the American Society for Testing and Materials, but the licensing and regulatory affairs is limited in the ability it has to inspect and enforce because of lack of funding. It makes you wonder, why is there a law on the books but not the money to enforce it?
Well, that's a good question. That's where I said, we've done a deep dive into this a couple times, and that's where you get into a bit of the nuances of what's the difference between a permitting process and the difference between a license. I'm still investigating, what the implications are of that distinction. So we're working on it. We're seeing what we can do to improve the safety here for our parks here in Michigan. But, I'm more of the mentality and the philosophy that, I think we can do a really good job of incentivizing good behavior, and I think we'll get a lot better result that will ultimately make these locations safer.
State Representative Thomas Albert, we want to thank you for taking time with us, talking to us from the floor of the Michigan House right here on Stateside.
Thanks, Cynthia.
We reached out to AJ's Family Fun Center for a comment on this story. They did not respond to our request. And we reached out to the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, LARA, with specific questions about the department's oversight of carnivals and amusement parks in Michigan. LARA confirmed that as the administrator of the Carnival Amusement Safety Act, the department permits and inspects individual amusement park rides. They do not license amusement park operators, and they do not inspect park safety procedures. And as for funding, LARA wrote that the revenue it generates from permitting and inspection is, and I'm quoting here, insufficient for the administration of the Carnival Safety Amusement Act. As a result, LARA wouldn't recommend supporting any future legislation that would increase oversight without an increase in revenue generated by permitting and inspection. You can find the full response by going to the Stateside page at michiganradio.org. And that's Stateside for today. I'm Cynthia Canty. Thank you for listening.